Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
After bagging the Taliban stronghold of Marja, General McChrystal turns his attention to the much bigger prize, Kandahar.
There won't be a D-Day that is climactic. It will be a rising tide of security as it comes.
D-Day, rising tides, but not a drop of water anywhere. The trouble with military metaphors in southern Afghanistan, they're about as catchy as military music. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, March 9th. The Takeaway virus takes down our dear Celeste Headlee, who's home today. Todd Zwillick joins me. And the takeaway this morning is the real test of the surge in Afghanistan is going to be this campaign coming up in Kandahar. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, John. A much bigger campaign than they had in Marja. Well, let's get to some of the morning's top news. President Obama headed into a battle of his own yet again yesterday, but this one's on health care. During a stop in Philadelphia yesterday, he tried to stiffen the spine of wavering Democrats while sharpening his attack against Republicans.
I got all my Republican colleagues out there saying, well, no. We want to focus on things like cost. You had 10 years. What happened? What were you doing?
The president has asked that the House take a final vote on a Senate bill within the next 10 days. Back in Washington, there's a test vote in the Senate today that's important to anyone getting unemployment aid. Democrats need at least one Republican vote to move legislation extending unemployment insurance and several popular tax breaks, which expired last year.
In Afghanistan this morning, Defense Secretary Robert Gates says NATO and Afghan troops have seized the initiative, but hard days lie ahead.
Of course, the operation in Marja is only one of many battles to come in a much longer campaign focused on protecting the people of Afghanistan.
Secretary Gates is visiting Kandahar today, which could be the site of the next big battle. For more, we're joined now by Chris Morris in Kabul with our partner, the BBC. Chris, are there any decent metaphors for what's going on in Kandahar as coalition forces prepare for some kind of battle with the Taliban in the coming months?
Kandahar is the symbolic heartland of the Taliban. So by going into Taliban, McChrystal and other commanders here are sending the message, we're going to go after you right in the place where you believe you are strongest. The problem with that, of course, is that there will be casualties, foreign forces, probably civilians as well. I think that's inevitable. And Kandahar will possibly be the toughest moment of this expanded campaign over the next 12 to 18 months or so, when the aim of NATO is to clear a huge swathe of territory which has been Taliban controlled for a long time and then quickly put in functioning civilian government behind it.
We talk more with Chris Morris, BBC correspondent in Kabul and a military analyst, about Afghanistan in just a few minutes. Todd?
Vice President Joe Biden is now meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Tel Aviv. He's there to try to kickstart preliminary peace talks. He'll meet with the Palestinian president tomorrow. And here at home, wedding bells will be ringing today for some gay couples here in Washington, D.C. Couples who applied for marriage licenses last week can pick them up today and tie the knot. So far, three weddings are planned at the city's Human Rights Campaign office. D.C. is the sixth place in the country permitting same-sex unions.
So, checking markets, Asian markets are mixed. European indices are down this morning. Futures on Wall Street are down. The Dow will get underway at 10,552. The S&P opens at 1,138. And the NASDAQ opens at 2,332. Coming up, more men are being laid off than women in the current recession. But more mothers are becoming the family breadwinner. We talk about work every Tuesday, and we're going to look at how this gender shift in the workplace is affecting work and family. That's later on in the hour. And our week-long series on genius continues today. You can catch up on our website, thetakeaway.org. We want to make today's question to you a little bit more personal. If you could be a genius at one thing, what would it be? And take a look at The Genius in All of Us, the book by David Shank, who's been a co-author and co-curating our genius series. You can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to our website, thetakeaway.org. Todd, you're a genius, right? Oh, don't laugh. His mother thinks so. Coming up, Afghanistan. Good morning, everyone. I'm here in New York. Todd Zwillick is joining me from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John.
So the big news this morning really is, you might say, Defense Secretary Robert Gates is behind enemy lines in Kandahar, southern Afghanistan, the Taliban stronghold. He's there today along with General Stanley McChrystal. On Monday, McChrystal said allied forces have seen success finally in the former Taliban stronghold of Marja.
We have essentially got control of the area now.
McChrystal says the U.S. now has its sights set on Kandahar, Afghanistan's second largest city, and the one which makes Marja look something like a rural hamlet. Here's McChrystal again.
There won't be a D-Day that is climactic. It will be a rising tide of security as it comes.
And it's going to take some time to come. Both McChrystal and Gates in Kandahar are in anticipation of this much larger offensive in southern Afghanistan. And yet more on this, we went to Chris Morris, BBC correspondent in Kabul.
Yeah, this is something which we believe will happen later this year. It's always been the case that we started off with this Operation Mushtarak in and around Marja in Helmand province, but there is a broad swathe of territory in Helmand and then across the provincial border into Kandahar, where the Taliban have traditionally been in control. And it's that huge swathe of territory that NATO wants to take over and then get civilian government functioning. And one of the most symbolic places, probably the most symbolic place in that whole region, is the area in and around Kandahar City. I mean, there's a big NATO base in Kandahar, but the area around is very much the preserve of the Taliban. And that's something General McChrystal has identified as something he wants to change.
Now, I suspect this just completed campaign in Marja, one of its goals would have been to demonstrate to the Taliban that even on a small scale of territory in Helmand province, in Marja, that the Taliban can be removed. Is that message likely to go down well in Kandahar, to have any credibility in Kandahar, a much stronger stronghold of the Taliban, a much bigger place territorially?
That is one of the problems, is that whichever way you look at it, military operations, whether they're by foreign forces or Afghan, are not popular with local people. And you can understand it. It brings enormous disruption and danger. I was down in Marja a few days ago, and there were many, many complaints about military operations, even though NATO commanders insisted and some local elders agreed that troops had tried to be extremely careful about how they carried out those operations. It's a policy they're calling courageous restraint. Now, if you transfer those concerns from a relatively small place like Marja onto a big bustling city and surrounding districts like Kandahar, then those issues and those dangers will be magnified. So I think it's going to be a huge task. That's one of the reasons why Secretary Gates had said there are going to be some very tough days ahead, and it's way too soon to be talking about turning a corner in southern Afghanistan.
Well, then in your view, Chris Morris, is it starting from square one to go from Marja to Kandahar, or maybe a little bit ahead of that?
Well, you know, what's happening at the moment is that American troops, the surge, President Obama's surge, those troops are still arriving in country. We reckon about 6,000 have arrived at the moment. By the end of the summer, perhaps there'll be that's when the full 30,000 extra troops should have arrived. And many of those troops would be needed, I think, if there were to be a major operation about Kandahar, because it will be much bigger in scale and much bigger in the challenges it represents as well. And so I think Kandahar is... it's probably the icing on the cake in terms of the way that McChrystal is planning this operation across these two provinces. But it's also clear that that's a place where there will be casualties. Already this year, American and British casualties and other NATO troops are far higher than they were at this time last year in terms of the number of people killed so far in the calendar year. And sadly, I think we do have to be prepared for the fact that that's going to continue throughout this summer. It's going to be a difficult summer with a lot of fighting. And the way they're doing the fighting means that NATO troops, foreign forces, will be taking casualties.
That was Chris Morris, BBC correspondent in Kabul. Let's bring in Colonel David Lamb, who was the chief of staff in the Combined Forces Command in Afghanistan from 2004 to 2005. Colonel Lamb, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
You know, I want to give you the same question I gave to Chris Morris, and I don't know if he really answered it. Is the Marja offensive something that, while it ground out territory, and that's something they're going to have to do in Kandahar as well, ultimately the effectiveness of this entire surge is going to be convincing the Taliban that it's hopeless to resist? Do you think they made any headway on that in Marja?
Well, as the Secretary said, and I would probably add to his remarks, they have cleared militarily, and militarily they hold right now the town of Marja, a town of about 50,000 or so folks. The real test is whether the Afghan government can roll in behind, and with the police and with the Afghan army and police, they can now hold and, in fact, bring good governance to Marja. That would be the key. The key is...
So let me just hold you up there. So if there's good governance in Marja, the people in Kandahar will get that message, and all of a sudden that changes the military equation for the troops going forward in the next couple of months.
Well, perhaps, but as was pointed out earlier in the spot here, Kandahar is a completely separate and to draw lessons learned about Marja to Kandahar. Marja's 50,000 folks, rather small hamlet, as was pointed out. Kandahar is a major city of 850,000 people, and it is in fact the holiest of places. It is really the spiritual heart of the Taliban inside Afghanistan.
Can the government project itself as being a custodian of the holy lands of Afghanistan, or is that something that the Taliban owns at this point?
Well, it can over time, but I would say at the present time, the Taliban owns that mantra and has owned it since 1994,
right.
When Mullah Omar, in fact, the holiest site inside Kandahar is in fact a mosque which contains a cloak of the Prophet Muhammad, last seen in 1994 when Mullah Omar actually put it on, a brilliant propaganda move that really wedded the Taliban as the religious keeper inside of Afghanistan.
Well, so again, it's a significant move that Secretary Gates is actually in Kandahar at this moment, setting up for what could be a reversal for the Taliban. But we'll have to see. We'll not get started for several months at least. Colonel David Lamb, thanks so much. Chief of Staff, former Chief of Staff, Combined Forces Command in Afghanistan from 2004 to 2005. Talking about next steps in Afghanistan. Thank you, Colonel.
You're welcome.
So 15 minutes after the hour, let's check in on some other stories we're following. Todd?
President Obama, John, turned up the volume on health care yesterday at a rally near Philadelphia. He set up the insurance companies as his main target.
How much higher do premiums have to rise until we do something about it? How many more Americans have to lose their health insurance? How many more businesses have to drop coverage?
The president also criticized Republicans for holding up reform, but Republicans in the Senate and the House still insist Americans want reform plans scrapped and rewritten. Today, meanwhile, President Obama meets with Greece's prime minister to talk about that country's faltering economy. Greece is urging the federal government to increase regulation of hedge funds. Athens says speculators have deepened the country's troubles.
That's having ripples all over the financial world. Also this, Nigerian troops out in force after the killing of hundreds of people in ethnic violence there. The area is affected by a hotbed of ethnic strife between Christians and Muslims. Toyota has again said its sudden acceleration problems are not electronic. A spokesman, Mike Michaels, says investigations show the problem is mechanical in nature.
We have found no evidence, and engineers are trained to look for evidence. And we have found no sign that electronics have anything to do with unintended acceleration.
Finally, here at home, another record for the UConn Huskies. The women's basketball team carved itself another spot in the record books. They beat Notre Dame last night 59-44, 71st straight win, the NCAA record. That's a look at some of the stories we're following this morning. Coming up, the healthcare battle wages in the shower. A little more about Congressman Eric Massa in a few minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.